Zion Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Zion Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 2nd, 2019. Today's date is May 2nd, 2019. Look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Folks, get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight if you haven't already. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, what? Leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. Phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, you can text me at my cell phone number first because of all the bogus calls we get nowadays. 316-619-4886. Text me and we'll get right back with you. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news of Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information on our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the internationally. It's live on YouTube, and it's on some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. It's not free, and your donations keep us on the air. On another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Zagreb, Croatia, Vienna, Australia, Krasnodar, Russian Federation, Perth, Australia, and of course cities in good old United States such as Long Beach, California, St. Paul, Minnesota, Cincinnati, Ohio, Anchorage, Northport, Alaska. These are just to name a few, of course, and Wichita, Kansas remains the largest group of listeners to our programs. Well, that is at least when they go to podcast later on tonight. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brent77. Now, prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Your Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will and not our will, Father. Give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So, Father, please lift the veil from their eyes. Bless this program tonight in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, folks, our guest tonight has had an open vision in May of 2013, if I have the date exactly right. It was sent to me very recently by, you folks know him, Michael Snyder, did an update, and he pointed out this vision. Well, I felt led to have him on to talk about this vision, and my wife and I talked to some things about some things in the previous program that would actually reflect on this vision. This vision, well, I'll just wait and let him tell you about it. So who is it? Well, it's Peter Michael Martinez. He's an internationally recognized apostolic voice for the awakening, well-regarded since 1995 as an author, conference speaker, radio host, bold voice of awakening to the body of Messiah, as an overseer of the Remnant House, which is commissioned by the Most High on the Sea of Galilee at the 2015 fall feast. Apostle Peter brings a seasoned and balanced apostolic voice to the remnant believers in Messiah living in these perilous days. Well, Peter, are you on there with me? Okay, I guess we thought we had him, but he isn't on. Well, they first said he was on. Now he's not on, but we'll get him in a minute. I guess we're having some trouble communicating. But he's going to tell his dream vision was about a civil war that would happen in America. Now, my wife and I talked briefly about a civil war just before this program. Well, there's been an hour in between, but we talked about maybe there's a coming civil war to the country. And a lot of that depends on the church. It depends on the believers out there praying and also acting. Because, as you know, faith is, if you believe, you also act on your faith. You can't just sit down and say, I believe, and sit down in a chair. You need to stand up and be counted. You need to follow his commandments. You know, you need to follow the Bible. We talked about how Dimitri Dudeman said that the angel told him that the people that were believers in the church would be saved, just as Ashak, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Now, I understand that we have Peter on with us now. Is that so? Are you there, Peter?
I am. Shalom. Great to be with you.
Yeah, you're a little staticky, but okay. Well, I'm glad to have you on, and I've already told the people who you were. I guess you're still alive, correct?
Yes, I mean, I'm still here.
Yeah, absolutely. Amen. I told him that you had a dream vision, and I told him a little bit about you. You've been in the ministry since, 1995? Is that correct?
That's correct. Been in ministry since 1995. Began in radio, actually, in the Twin Cities. And in 2013, I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, it was May 14th, which your listeners may know is the day that Israel celebrates its Independence Day. And we had gone into a three-day fast, which is what prompted, which was interesting. Normally, you wouldn't see something or get anything, or, you know, typically it's at the end of a fast that you would experience maybe something like that, or get an answer to a prayer or what have you, and wasn't expecting that. And as that began, it was like it was almost like a movie. It was a very extraordinary experience.
Well, amen. That's what we call, you know, that to the folks. A lot of we have a very seasoned audience, a lot of them, but we have newcomers all the time. So, folks, what he's talking about is what most people call an open vision, where it's just like you're absolutely there. Am I correct?
That is correct. It was and that's one of the things you want to do, of course, whenever you have an experience like that. Obviously, like the scripture says, write the vision, make it plain upon tablets. And so I went and recorded it right away. Wrote down as much as I obviously recalled, and then later on, and I was prompted by the Spirit to put it to a video. And share it that way. And I think that's how you ran across it, was after that.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, you just recently put this up in a video, and Michael Snyder, which has written a couple of books, and then he was getting into the prophecy world, and he'd been a guest on this program a lot. He has a thing called the Most Important News and the Economic Collapse blog, and but anyway, he put it out on one of his updates a few days ago, and I saw it, and I really felt pulled in the spirit to investigate who you were, and here we are.
Amen. Well, and again, one of the things that, again, all of us as believers need to remember is that these were all things foretold thousands of years in advance. What we're seeing now is the culmination. Obviously, we all are watching these signs and wonders, and he warned us that we would see these things. And so as we do, we're moving in a direction that we can't stop. We're on a conveyor belt called time, and he is going to fulfill his word. Now, this vision, as I saw it, a lot of things since 2013 have actually already come to pass or are already playing out. As your listeners, which I'm certain are fairly sophisticated listeners, know, we've already been in many ways, an open civil war for some time. That is dramatically getting, perhaps worse. Unfortunately, it is a sad day in America when you see the kinds of things that we see. So, you know, we are seeing so many evidences already that fulfill what I had already seen, and things that I didn't even know existed at the time that I received the vision. So, for example, the exoskeleton part of the vision, I had no idea what that was. And I was I'm a veteran, so you know I knew that they worked on stuff like this. But then when I saw the very next year, there was a movie that came out. I think it was Tom Cruise, mm-hmm. and he had on an exoskeleton in this movie, and I about came out of my skin because I said that's what I saw in the Vision was this type of armor that they had on, and it was very frightening.
Amen. How long do you think it will take to tell the folks the Vision?
Well, the whole entire experience, it won't take me very long at all. It may take me a couple of minutes, but I did, like I said, do a video that went into more detail than I can do a summary of it fairly quickly.
Well, yeah, we will direct them to go look at the video, of course, but, you know, I'm the guy on radio. I want to give them the meat if I can, and of course, they'll go look at it, and then they'll share it, but it's going to... What you tell them about the Vision is what's going to draw them over to watch it in its entirety. So,
well, what I saw was horrific. What I saw was a conflict that had erupted somewhere within the government. There were factions within even the military that had begun to fight with one another. The cities, I was shown just a few cities, and one of the ones that I saw was extremely dark. And a lot of smoke. But I didn't see any fires. I just saw the smoke. So it was as if something had already happened. Wasn't happening. It was sort of a past tense. But it was horrific. And what I saw in terms of the dead, the number of people that were dead, it was like a movie scene. It was like something you just can't imagine it unless you see it and someone else puts it in front of you. It's not something you naturally would think about. And so, of course, it was just a horrific scene. And was seeing these bodies being removed and put into containers. Those containers were like a plastic Tupperware. All things, again, that were since confirmed. And then dropped into what looked like a river of lava. Looked like they had found or created just some of these underground, I don't know what to call them, but just, you know, like volcanic lava. And they were dropping these bodies into that. And they were chasing down any, this was a certain faction in the military. It wasn't the entire military. It was just a certain group that were really hunting down anybody who had, any groups that had weapons. I don't know how they were able to detect it. They would literally walk right by other people, just other groups of people just huddled together or whatever. They ignored them, didn't help them, didn't do anything. They were so focused on just trying to find people with weapons, so and they would just literally track them down, hunt them down, just go to, like, you know, open fire, open war on whoever they found. And so it was really a very, very strong attack against any weaponry, anybody having any defense, and everything that any safety there was underground. So if you did not, if you weren't invited, if you will, and that's the sense I got in the Vision, that you needed an invitation, you needed to be brought in to this underground. If you weren't, you were just you know, left to the surface to fend for yourself. And
right.
So it was very apocalyptic, if you can imagine. Obviously, that's, you know, the scene that I was seeing.
Right, absolutely. Well, let's go with this. Now, I don't know if I sent you a link yesterday about a fellow called Dimitri Dudeman. Have you ever read any of his things? Or
sure, and many of your listeners may know that I was on the Prophecy Club in 1999. I traveled the United States with Jar Brimstone, and the message that I traveled the United States on the Prophecy Club with was prepare for the coming persecution, which, interestingly enough, I just saw an article that it has increased to a level that they've never seen before. Here 20 years later. So that was 1999. But yes, I'm very familiar with Dimitri Dudeman. As you know, traveled and was promoted heavily through the Prophecy Club.
Well, amen. Well, your name, now your name sounds really familiar. That's probably how where I came across it before, because I've known Stan Johnson since the middle 90s. I probably went to his second meeting.
Sure.
That he had, and I started helping him out at the meetings, you know, tapes and tables, and that's kind of how our ministry got started, because he allowed me to give away newsletters, my newsletter. He didn't let anybody else do it, but he let me give away my newsletter.
A lot of people were blessed by the Prophecy Club, and I got to tell you, I really appreciate the work that Stan Johnson did and continues to do. He's still out there. He still broadcasts. He does crusades. People would do. There's worse places, worse ministries to connect with than the Prophecy Club for keeping
amen.
You connected with what's going on.
Like I was going to say, Stan's a very good friend of mine. You know, we're still friends today, and I do help the Prophecy Club. He's a supporter of this ministry. And has been since then. And, you know, right now he's on an upswing. Him and his wife are getting ready to go to Malaysia and minister after this big crusade they just had about a week, Passover time, anyway.
Wonderful.
But anyway, so the reason I brought up Dimitri Dudeman is because, you know, with Dimitri being familiar with his prophecy makes it easier for me to talk. You know, he talks about, you know, things starting with, you know, a revolution inside the middle of the country, and to
right.
me, that's what you're describing. Is it back to you? Are you still with me?
Well, yes. That's similar in my experience, or what I experienced. In fact, I looked a lot at his writings after I had experienced that, and I knew about them before that. But then
mm-hmm.
after, I felt obviously compelled to go back and say, is what I saw comparable to what Dimitri saw, or is that some part of it? Because I do remember him saying that there would be an internal revolution started by the communists, and
right.
then there would be an attack from you know, various countries. Interestingly enough, these countries are aligning. So, you know, obviously we have to wait and see, but definitely what I saw was an internal revolution and uniforms on some of the people I did not recognize. And
right.
again, I'm a veteran, so that's hard to do for me to not recognize the uniform. And I did not recognize the uniform of some of the fighters, but they were clearly government. So
right.
that was interesting in the vision. I remember that.
Right.
But, you know, again, that was a back-and-forth balance, very brutal. That was very – and I got the sense that it was both above and both below ground. So it wasn't just, you know, on the surface. But those
right.
that were left on the surface were left to die.
Right. We're talking about persecution-wise, you know, probably 15 years ago, maybe not back that far, but, you know, we talk about, you know, Christianity and Christians being outlawed and persecuted in this country. You know, it was hard to see, although a lot of us talked about it clear back then, or even further, you know what I'm saying. But now, do you agree that we're seeing the actual manifestation of that?
That was the warning, and that's why I was sent. I was sent with, like I said, I had a jar of brimstone from Sodom and Gomorrah. I had gone prior to my 40-city tour to confirm Ron Wyatt's discovery of Gomorrah, because I didn't want to just repeat that without seeing it for myself. And I ended up coming back to the United States with a jar of the brimstone that we found there. So those of your guests want to look online, they can look up Gomorrah and put my name on it, and you'll find a video of that visit. But, you know, that is absolutely his word. And here we are 20 years later from that time, and that's an interesting time period. Remember 1 Samuel chapter 7, Israel lamented for 20 years, waiting for revival, and he rebuked them and said, get rid of the Baal and the Asherah, and then he's going to hear your prayer. Get this
right.
out of your houses. And, of course, they did, and Samuel prayed for them, and, of course, you know the rest of the story. And so this is where I believe we are today in America. We've reached the zenith. We've reached the place where if the church will begin to pray and cry out, it'll go this way. If they won't, if they just stop and take some popcorn breaks and just watch and see, then it's gonna be ugly. And I believe there's a lot of lives at stake.
Yeah, absolutely there is. I believe everything. I believe the timing. Now, I believe it's inevitable what's going to happen to America. I honestly do. But the timing of when it happens in America, you know, could be entirely up to the people that pray and the people that are trying to stand up now. I mean, because if we didn't get anything else out of having Donald Trump as president, we have gotten one thing. It's like a revealing. When he came into office, the evilness that had popped out of so many people and the vulgarness, and you understand what I'm saying? Do you think that?
Yes,
about
2015
that?
Is a critical point. He even says that. It was a fight to save the world. On the fall feast of 2015, a shofar was blown from the Mount of Olives at the exact same moment that the Pope was speaking in Congress. Most people don't know that, but that was done as a consecrated moment to declare against it. And they were coming to receive the United States as their possession, and the great God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob decided to intervene. And they blew a horn on their power and shut them down. And they've been struggling ever since because a remnant are rising. And the remnant will not back down. When the question is, who can make war with the beast? In Revelation 14, the answer comes, the remnant can. And they will not back down. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes, and they overcome the beast by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of his testimony, and they do not love their lives even unto death. And we've got to remember that we finish well, and the only way through is through. So, you know, rub some dirt on it and get ready, because here we go.
Okay, listen, we've got to go to break in about 30 seconds. So tell the folks where they can find you online, and we'll come back and talk.
You can find us on YouTube, of course. Remnant House is right there on YouTube, or just go to remnanthouse.org.
Remnanthouse.org, folks. And folks, remember, if you go to prophecyhour.com, you go to the pastor's page, I will have a link to this. And you folks that are going to be listening to this later tonight, and ongoing, if the podcast will have a direct link to his website and to the YouTube videos. But hey, we'll be back in about 4 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Fire on the mountain, Moses went to see. The bush was burning with the flame by the power of God's full ring, standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down. Take his sandals off as he was standing on the holy ground. Daniel in the lion's den, he trusted in God's word. Those hungry lions' mouths were shut, and not a hair on Daniel was hurt, and he was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down. He was standing. Meshach, Abednego, into the furnace they were tossed. When the king looked in, there were four, not three, but they had their sandals off and they were standing on holy ground. Yeah, they had to humble down. They were standing on holy ground. David told Goliath, you come with sword and shield. But I am the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. He was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down. He was standing on holy ground. Holy ground. Holy ground. They were standing. Standing on holy ground. holy ground. Are you standing, standing on holy ground?
The Bible says that Jesus is God. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. We are told that he is the image of the invisible God, and that by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Bearing this in mind, let us consider the fact that it was Jesus who in 6 days created the heavens and the earth. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God, Elohim, Jesus, ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God, Elohim, Jesus, blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work. Yes, it was Jesus who sanctified the Sabbath day at the time of creation, thousands of years before the commandments were given on Mount Sinai. It was Jesus on Mount Sinai who wrote the commandments in stone, and it was Jesus who laid down his life to pay the death penalty required for breaking the commandment to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Let us not tempt Christ as some of them also tempted. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, tonight we're talking with Peter Michael Martinez about his ministry and some end time things, especially a dream vision, or an open vision that he had concerning a civil war in America. But before we get right back with him, I have to just give a little plug for our mission church. Folks, we have that mission church in Wichita, Kansas. We are getting ready to start our 20th year in June, and that's only been through your kind support. We're able to provide to the people, anybody that walks in the door, food, clothing, Bibles, the gospel, miracle healings, all kinds of things. But that's only possible because you folks out there support us. Messiah's Branch is like a home church with a building is what we're like. And so people just walk in and they tell us what they need, and if we have it, we fill the need. If not, we pray it in. So pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. You know, as you all know, summer is coming, school's out, and since school's out, donations really just drop through the floor until school starts back up. I guess that's because people are gone on vacations or whatever. But pray about it. We really do need your help. You can donate online or mail a check or money order. And you can call and give a donation over the phone. You can find all that information where, of course, at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And now we're back with Brother Peter, if you're still there with me.
I am, and I'm very grateful to hear that the kind of work that you're doing and encouraging the brethren to do. Remember that in Matthew 25, he specifically tells us what he expects when he returns. And he is going to be asking about specific works, many of which are on your list. So, if they're not doing it themselves, they had probably better be supporting or encouraging those that are. So, well done. Keep working.
Yes, amen, and thank you. And we have seen many, many miracles there because, you know, when people, one thing I have discovered, and And in fact, Joel Richardson wrote a great book called the about catastrophe, blessings coming during catastrophe. And people have, I believe, catastrophes or bad things happen in people's lives because, you know, a lot of times it's because the Father is simply trying to get our attention. He allows things, and in some cases, everything taken away from a person until they finally honestly cry out from the bottom of their heart to the Father.
Well, wouldn't it be nice if all they needed was this broadcast? Wouldn't it be nice if they could just read an article or something that just make them cry out and repent? But no, typically what's required is pain for the choices that we've made. And then at that point we realize, okay, we have gone too far. And so the nation has gone way too far. He declared war against him. And this sparked intercession at a level that people don't even understand. Intercessory special forces went into effect to save this nation, to pray really night and day. And those of you that are out there listening know what I'm talking about, that for several years you've been practically arrested to save your nation, because if you didn't pray, the same fate that hit Sodom and Gomorrah would hit this one. So he continues to look. And as long as there are the remnant that are praying and are crying out to him and are repenting, even for their community, it only took 10 to save Sodom and Gomorrah. This is why it's so important for those that are true, faithful, sincere believers in Jesus the Christ, Yahushua HaMashiach. If you are a believer, don't let your light be under a candle, under a bushel now. This is the time to let your light so shine before men that they see your good work and glorify your Father, which is in heaven.
Amen. I got a question here. Not really a question, but now there's a lot of people, Peter, that you know have grown disappointed with the mainstream church, especially here, like here in the Heartland where I'm at, because and let alone if you mention Messianic to them or Hebrew roots or any of such things, most of them don't have any idea in the world what you're talking about to start with. But there are a lot of people that have came out of the church and are now either doing home churches or just praying at home. And so I am seeing an upswing in people looking online for places of people to fellowship and have some sort of relationship. Now, this is a point where I'd like you to tell them about, tell us about what your ministry is, because I understand it is online and Sabbath services, everything. So,
yeah, as I told you before, it began in 1995, and in 2015, I believed I was coming in for a landing. I had done 20 years, and I believed that I was completing my course, and went to Israel to pray for the nation. Could not see our way past where we were at that point, and really began to cry out. I actually began a year of a lot of fasting and prayer. I lost 70 pounds that year, just praying and fasting. And in, and he heard our petition. You know, that's all I can say is he heard our prayer and decided to save instead of destroy this nation. And there on the Sea of Galilee, we were at the highest point in the northern part of Israel under three consecutive unscheduled blood moons. He began Remnant House, a gathering of the remnant from all the nations, wherever they've been scattered. And we don't look for people that are already part of a ministry or part of a church. We're encouraging those that have already disconnected, that are fragments, because remember, he already spoke to them to come out of there. And so he's begun to gather them, as he promised in Jeremiah 23, to gather them back to their folds, that they would be fruitful and increase, and they would fear no more. And so as he sets up shepherds, he's setting up home groups. This was what they did to survive in the first century. This is the only model of survival under persecution that has endured the test of time. And so to try and avoid it is just, you know, it's foolhardy. So the direction of home churches and home fellowships is positively a survival mechanism, if you will. And without it, look at the church in China under persecution. Look at other nations where persecution has become mainstream. They suddenly are pushed underground. If you're not prepared for that, then obviously that's going to cause devastation. And we're going to see many of the hirelings just beat feet. We saw that in Liberia. As soon as there was persecution, the hireling churches left, and the fivefold had to come up right out of, you know, basically concentration camps, refugee centers, and the fivefold had to rise out of that. And so that's, you know, that's what we're seeing here is home fellowships and various groups and small groups, but without cover, without connection. And so being able to come on to remnanthouse.org, where we have something similar to Facebook, where you can communicate securely and not have it being overlooked by or connected to any of the, you know, big tech companies or any of that. So it's secure. That's a communication mechanism. We even have our own video server called remnanthouse.tv for those that want to communicate with video and may be banned or prohibited in other mechanisms. We're preparing already for keeping communication for the remnant even in the worst of times. And that's the way we've had to prepare based on what we've seen.
Yeah, amen. Now that's great. I didn't realize about the place for videos and such. And that is great because, as you know, the voices on YouTube and Twitter and all those things are being shut down just as they are on Facebook. And so people need to unglue themselves from those places, and they need to find places like yours. So that's really good to hear. So how often, when do you have service? I mean, how?
Well, we have them. We keep the Sabbath day. So, you know, we need every ounce of his favor we can get. So we are breaking absolutely no rules that we can think of, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So we keep the Sabbath day holy. We love him, and we preach on that day. And that is when I typically do a broadcast. I'm on the west coast of the United States, so we broadcast it from at 9 a.m. our time locally and, of course, throughout the nations on the Sabbath day on our channel and on our website. So from all over the world, people are gathering in small groups or individually and on their phones, in their homes, wherever they are, stopping what they're doing to worship together, to hear a message, to be encouraged, and then know that they're not alone. I think this is one of the biggest things that we need to tell our brothers and sisters out there is you kind of feel like you're alone, kind of like Elijah did. And then remember that the Most High had to speak to him and say, there's 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. Don't think you're by yourself. You have brothers and sisters. If you draw a circle 5 miles around you, you'd have remnant inside that circle. But there are few and far between who are truly devoted to him. And it's wonderful when we can connect. Because we need one another. We need the encouragement. As he said, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting or encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching, Hebrews 10:25. So we need to do that. And the way that's going to survive is not going to be in these big buildings. I think this example in Poway, unfortunately, was an example of just how vulnerable and how soft the target those are. So that's not a good long-term survival plan, especially in a hostile environment. In a hostile environment, you're going to have safety places that you know the people, you've gotten to know them in smaller groups, and had a chance to pray together and develop relationships. So those that are not part of that need to get connected in some type of small groups, begin to form them, and pray together and work together and serve him together. You'll actually get more done.
Yes, amen. And I agree. And this started way back when I was helping the Prophecy Club. So over the years, I talked to many different speakers and got connected with them, you know what I'm saying? And established to where over the years, I've come to know that, I know people that are that have moved years ago to the Rocky Mountains that were preparing places for people they said would come up. The mountains after California was burning, and they were preparing a place for him. And I said, boy, are you giving out addresses or anything like that? Well, of course they're not. He says, because the Father would lead them to him. But now those same people are coming back around and they're connecting through the internet and what we are talking about here, which is very highly important at this time. It's just like us. We are like a home church with a building. You know, the building is because I was kept up all night. It's too long of a story to tell you how we was miraculous. It led to do what we were doing with many confirmations and many miracles. But
sure.
The point is all Messiah's branches is we're a home church with a building. Back to you.
Well, and I think that's the right attitude. I think that's, you know, you use the building as long as the building is available, as long as the building is a safe place. But don't make that the center part of your ministry. Your ministry needs to be a home base. All ministries need to get back to the home base, which is where the, you know, where I like to look at it this way. We went out through the book of Acts. We're coming back through the book of Acts. You know,
yeah.
And so look at it like it is reversed. You know, we're coming back the other way, and we're going to go back through that sort of squeezing period where we're going to have to deal with that. And unfortunately, there are many people that are not thinking like that. They think that it's just going to be goodness and light, and they're not paying attention. Remember, the United States only represents 5% of the world population. So if you only look at what's happening in the United States as your barometer, you're going to miss 95% of the world and 95% of the body of Messiah that is operating in the earth. So you have to look at the whole body. You can't just look at what's happening in your neighborhood in order for you to take the temperature of where we are.
Yes, amen. That's a very good point. The church is exploding in other places under persecution. You know, the American church needs to wake back up, because they are like the Lacedaemonian church. They don't have power because it's been taken away from them. You know,
well, I think people saying that, and that's been something that I've heard for quite a while. America's got to wake up. The church's got to wake up. Well, I think that, you know, when you see statistics that show that membership in traditional mainstream churches is declining, you should rejoice. And I know you're going to say, what are you talking about? Well, you got to understand what he's doing is he's pulling them out. He's pulling them out because they won't listen. Now, it's one thing when he gives grace for something. In other words, he endures something that you're ignorant of. It's another thing when you're getting correction on it and you still won't listen. And so that's where you're seeing the stubbornness, as you will. But the average, his true sons and daughters, he's pulling them out. So that number decreases, actually his people departing. But where they are now is in their homes, where they're meeting and where they're talking. They didn't stop being believers. They just stopped believing in your building program, or stopped believing in these other things that these guys were doing. They stopped believing in these projects. And they started to believe, they just want to believe the word. And so this is where the conflict has come in.
I totally agree with that. In fact, you know, through this ministry and the people I've been talking to on radio and that have contacted me, I do know, that's what I'm saying, I do know as a fact that the churches are declining, the building churches, you know what I'm saying, just as what you said, and it is going to home churches. As far as ours, you know, we live 60 miles from our church, from that church. But
that's an answer to my prayer, because I think authentic prayer is actually happening. And revival that doesn't happen in your car, that doesn't happen in your bathroom, if a revival doesn't happen on your front porch or at your kitchen table, it's not a real revival. If you got to go to a tent with a lot of music and a whole bunch of people singing in order for you to feel spiritual, then we've got a problem, because we can't. That's not portable. You know, but if you're having him invade your kitchen table, or you're in a snotty mess in the bathroom because you're suddenly realizing that you need to repent for your sin and that he is speaking to you right now, and if that's the case, revival has come into your home. And that's the beauty of being able to take what the enemy meant for evil and using it to preach the gospel of the kingdom through all the world.
Yes. And it should be every day, the way that people contact you. I always say, brother, I always say, always, always, always be a blessing to others, because if Yeshua is a part of you, if the Holy Spirit is in you, you are going to be a blessing to others. And that means that wherever you go, there is where the Spirit's at, and, you know, it's there. It doesn't have to be to a building. The building is because we were kept up all night, you know, to do what we're doing. And there is a big work
going
on.
Well, see, you
there.
Guys, again, you guys are using it properly. You got a purpose for it, but it's not the center of what you do. You're a home church with a building. I love that. That's a beautiful way to say it. And I think that if everybody has that attitude, then that makes an auxiliary thing not the centerpiece. The centerpiece is where you guys are woke, your focus in. And obviously with your broadcasts and things, I took a look at what you're doing, and, you know, you're doing a good work. You're encouraging people to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness.
Yeah,
how are you going to get in trouble doing that?
Well, I could care less about the world, but I'm trying not to get in trouble with my father. That's the big
deal. You ain't
going
to get no trouble doing that. He told us all to do that. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. You know, I mean, that's talk about hitting one right down the middle. And boy, do we need more ministries hitting it down the middle, because there's ditches on both sides.
Yeah, amen. And we are, and for the record, we do our broadcast. I'm doing the broadcast right here at home and where I live at, not in my house, but outside, you know, in another little building. But, you know.
And that's what I'm seeing a lot of, is I'm seeing ministries utilizing spaces like that, doing things that he's being very creative in setting us up in preparation for what is coming. And so he's out in front of it. And that's one of the encouragements that everyone should take, is that the warnings come, they're really for the unbeliever, they're really for those that are not in him. Because those of you that are in him, he already showed me in that vision that he would lead you by his Spirit to places of safety. And that in that vision he showed by the Holy Spirit there were groups that they were trying to, they were thinking would be destroyed, but you weren't destroyed. The believers weren't destroyed. They weren't hurt. He protects through all things. And so those that are worried about what might happen or running out of things, remember the miracles. You know, he's still the God that multiplies bread and fish. He's still the one that feeds the multitudes. He's still the one that sent down manna from heaven. And he's still the one who brought water from a rock in the desert.
He fed with the bread and the fish, but as we know, he started off with a little bit of bread and fish. So my point is this, is we try to do what we can on our own, but after that, he will take care and fulfill. Because, you know, I just see so many people say, well, they believe and they know something, and they just sit down and they do nothing. You know, faith is an action word. If we believe something's coming, we should try to do our best to take care of our families and so on and so forth. But he will fulfill the rest of us. He'll save us just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a fiery furnace. And why were they saved? Because they were obedient to his word by faith.
That's right. And they didn't try to get out of the fire. They said, go ahead and stoke it up. We still ain't going to bow.
Yeah, amen. So you were telling me that this week's Sabbath service is going to be on faith. You want to give anybody a teaser what you're going to talk about?
Well, this week we're going to be talking about being found faithful. And, of course, that you can't be found faithful without faith. But, you know, we're going to be talking about the importance of that. Because, again, remember what we all want to hear. Every one of your listeners all wanted him to look you in the eye on that day and say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Do you know why that's going to be so special? Because he's going to flat rebuke a whole lot of people that come up to him saying, Lord, Lord, and he's going to look at them and say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. When I was hungry, you did nothing. When I was thirsty, again, nothing. When I was in prison, you didn't even bother. You see, all the natural things that you're talking about and you use your ministry to do, that's why I want to encourage you. Because if people had sense about it, they would say, oh, wait a minute, you mean that's what the king's going to ask me about? Well, I better get to doing that, or I better get involved with my brother here. Yeah, you better. And don't be slow about it either, because he's coming.
Yeah, amen. In fact, that was the base. I had just right before Passover, I had to do a funeral for somebody in where I live at, and somebody I've known a long time, and I did their wedding many years ago, but the lady passed away, and so they asked me to do her funeral, and two amazing things out of it happened. First, I had started it with, you know, in Ecclesiastes, where we talk about a season for everything, and at the end of it was about what we were just talking about just now, and because I was able to reach a mixed multitude of people of different belief systems and things, and it did reach them all. But what I found out afterwards was I went over to where my son's house, and there, him and his her husband that are still alive. You know, he's still alive. He's a survivor. They're making a tombstone for out here in this country cemetery, and they showed me a rock that they found in her bedroom. They didn't realize that she had, and I sure didn't. And what was on it was the same, Ecclesiastic scriptures about, for everything there's a season. And so, you know, I felt good about that, and so I know we was connected. But I was able to reach this funeral. The father allowed this funeral to let me connect with a lot of people that I had not been connected to in this vicinity. Back to you. And we got about 3 minutes.
Well, we have to remain connected. That's one of the things that love does, is it connects us. You know, the enemy is trying to get us afraid, intimidated. He's trying to make us fearful, distrustful and all of those things. But that is not the direction that the remnant, the last days household of faith, that will be here upon arrival of the King, remember, alive and remain unto the coming. Like, you know, everybody's excited about that. You want to get caught up? Well, you got to be alive and remain. And that means stay connected. Don't be disconnected. Connect with your brothers and sisters. Unite, pray, stand and pray together, because that's where power is. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And so we're the ones in charge. We're the government of Yahuwah Elohim. You know, we're the government of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when we say something in unity and we say, no, we're not putting up with this, you know, every one of these battles, and we're taking them on, and we start praying about them, and all of a sudden they start to change. Well, then we're starting to go, wait a minute. If that's the case, then let's take them all on. And right. So I think we're starting to wake up to realize that we do have a voice, and I'm very excited for people like you who are waking up your brothers and sisters to say, hey, you know, you don't feel powerless. You join with your brothers and sisters, and if you start to pray, you will see that situation change.
Yeah, amen. That's a fact. The power of faith, prayer and faith. Amen. Well, look, I'm going to go ahead and let you go. Tell them where they can find you and roughly, you know, when again, what time the Sabbath service is and where they can find your videos.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure to have a chance to talk with you. Your folks, you can always connect with us if you're out there and you don't have a home church. Maybe you've disconnected from your local ministry because you started to detect the things that they were preaching were incorrect, or, you know, the Holy Spirit began to move on you. And that's what Remnant House is all about. You can find us at remnanthouse.org. You can find us on YouTube with just a search of Remnant House. It'll be very easy to find us. And, you know, we're here to be an encouragement to those that are sort of stragglers. They're out there by themselves. He spoke to me and told me to gather the fragments, to gather the remnant. And so that's what I've been doing since 2015. Like I said, I went there to put that mantle down, thinking I was done. And he gave me a new assignment, and it was you. All of you who are out there who have no home, no place, you don't need a physical location. We meet in the spirit, and that is what's so wonderful about it. So at 9 a.m. Pacific time, noon Eastern time, you can find us at remnanthouse.org or on and Facebook, too. Facebook, you can find us at Remnant House Ministries is the hashtag. So, you know, it's really easy to find us in one of those places.
Well, amen. And I'll put links out to that with the podcast. Thanks for being on. And if you get something special, you want to talk again, you know how to get a hold of me, and we'll do it again. But you be blessed, brother. Thanks for being
on. Continue doing what you do. And let me just encourage you. I speak blessing and shalom upon all that you're doing. I am so encouraged by it. Thank you for letting me be here with you.
All right. Goodbye and be blessed. Bye-bye, brother.
Bye-bye now.
Shalom. Well, folks, that was Peter Martinez. You know, go check him out at Remnant House. And like I say, you know, I've talked with a lot of you folks over the years, and she said, what do? I can't find fellowship in my city. I can't find fellowship in the town that I am. So that's what I tell you is go check this out. There are some legitimate people online. Like my wife said in the previous program, you got to be really careful with the internet, but there are good out there. While there's less good than there is all the other stuff, check him out. Anyway, folks, remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember what? Always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua's return. And pray about supporting this ministry and this radio program. We do really need your help, and we could really use it now because we were a little short coming out of Passover. Anyway, Lord our God, Father, King Universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would please, please be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next week. This is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time from Messiah's Branch.